Welcome to Always West Seattle, the podcast where the people, places, happenings, and history of West Seattle intersect. I'm your host, Keith Bacon. It's the first of the month, and it's time for our November agenda, where we run down exciting things happening around the Duwamish Peninsula throughout the month. And my special guest today is Aaron Rubin, owner of Mode Music Studios and founder of Mode Music and Performing Arts Nonprofit. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for having me.
And we are at Mode Music today on Delridge Way. This is a really cool space. I've never been in here. I should probably start taking some music lessons if I want to spend more time here.
There's more, too. You only saw a little bit. Okay. You just saw the one hallway. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, let's finish that tour later.
We will.
So you have an event coming up in November, the Friendsgiving fundraiser, November 17th, that we're going to talk about a little bit more when we get into our events. But first, I wanted to know a little bit more about you and Mode. First of all, what's the difference between Mode Music Studios and Mode Music and Performing Arts?
That is an excellent question. At Mode Music Studios, we offer private music lessons. We have 9 teaching studios in our space, and we are a for-profit. And Mode Music and Performing Arts, I founded in 2017, and it was our way to reach kids in the schools and just kind of bridge financial barriers. My ultimate goal with Mode Music and Performing Arts, really my ultimate inspiration, was to get scholarship one-on-one lessons for kids and adults. So that's something that we've worked our way toward over the last 5 years.
Uh-huh. And do you do programs in schools as well?
We do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. So the nonprofit goes into the schools. We were just let back in last calendar year. So we're back in the schools for the second fall since the COVID shutdown.
And what are your programs in schools like compared to like a typical music lesson?
We started going to schools with just Mode Music Studios as it was. And my partnership with theater programming let us expand some of that. So we went from just offering like music classes, group music classes, maybe group vocal classes, ukulele classes. We now offer story drama classes, improv classes.
Oh, wow.
We do kind of play creation things for the kids. We're pretty flexible. So we work with PTSAs just based on like what age group they need to serve and kind of what's missing in the school, how we can help supplement their arts programs.
I was just going to say, I would imagine you're filling a deficit, a gap in this kind of education in public schools.
Yeah. And, you know, some schools are fortunate enough that they're able to raise money to have a full-time music teacher or a drama program, but there are a lot of schools that are unable to do so. So it's kind of our job to get to the schools that can afford our programming so we can bring those funds and offer free programs in our Title I schools.
What schools in West Seattle are you in with your programs?
Right now, Arbor Heights. We have some free programs running in Highland Park and San Islo. We're at Alki Elementary. We've served Lafayette, Genesee Hill, Fairmount Park, like pretty much name your. we've been in Rocks Hill where we want to get back in. There are just some schools that I think, especially us, like having to almost rebuild our program, that the Title I schools are just next on our list. So, but right now we're offering Highland Park music classes during the day and then offering drama after school. We're at Pathfinder right up the hill. Yeah, and we are their middle school elective.
Oh,
so
cool.
Yeah, they have a theater program running right now. My daughter's friends are in it. They love it. So,
is your daughter in some of your programs as well?
She has been in the past. Yeah, this last summer she was like, I'm not doing summer camps, Mom.
Yeah.
So a big part of offering pay what you can summer camps and what we've done every summer was I needed help.
You know,
I needed somewhere for my kid to go. And I know, like, being a single mother, like, how hard that is with a one income. Like, you know, how are you going to afford for full-time childcare? It's almost impossible. But also, like, making sure that your kid's having fun.
Yeah.
And so, so we offer, like, half-day theater and half-day music. And they can kind of, you know, mix and match. So summers are also pretty fun. We're just kind of coming off of that.
Do those camps culminate with sort of like a production or a show?
We're not necessarily a performance-based organization, but we do encourage kids to take part in some sort of demonstration at the end. It's like something they, you know, take a lot of pride in,
right,
to show their family and friends. And
that's awesome.
So, yeah.
So what led you to found these two Mode endeavors? I'm imagining that you have some background in music or music education.
Yeah, I'm a piano teacher mainly, and I have been teaching in West Seattle for, yikes, like 17 years, uh-huh. I think. Yeah, some of my families I've known for about that long. I still run into them in the Junction and, you know, at certain West Seattle events. And Cammy McDonald at Westside Music Academy kind of took me under her wing when I was younger. Mm-hmm. She took a chance on me, and I didn't realize how much I was going to love music education. Like, I was kind of like stuck on being a performer for a long time.
And, yeah.
But also, like, didn't want to wait tables forever. So right. With that, I was like, well, I could give it a shot. It's mm-hmm. like the thing I'm good at, or I got to go back to school.
And yeah.
Yeah. So I feel fortunate enough to have an incredible, like, piano teacher and mentor that I've had for the last 17 years, and local West Seattle, Dick Cady. He actually teaches here now. Mm-hmm. So we kind of went full circle. He's working his way into retirement. I took a maternity leave and mm-hmm. hired a teacher to work for me for 8 weeks. And that was kind of the start of it. I was gotcha. Like, all right, now it's, I came back to work and like gave up my Mondays. And then we built a second studio in my basement and hired another teacher, and then moved into this space, mm-hmm. Which has been really special. We've been able to serve a lot of the community. I feel really fortunate. But the other part of it is giving a platform and an easy way for local artists to yeah. make, you know,
yeah.
to supplement their income and mm-hmm. be able to support their art and work with kids and pass on what they know. And that's a huge part of what we are as a community, is our little Mode family.
How many employees do you have?
God. I think we have a lot of part-time teachers. We have about 40 teachers working for us just wow. in the for-profit.
Uh-huh.
Some of that overlaps with a nonprofit. Some of right. them will go into the schools and teach music. And then we have a smaller crew with a nonprofit, but another probably 10 administrative.
Wow.
Working hard.
Wow.
Yeah. That's they're good.
Big operation.
It's a whole thing.
Is there anything unique about the Mode approach to music education?
You know, I was afraid of it mm-hmm. At first, when I was kind of discussing what owning a school would look like, because I couldn't be in the lesson room mm-hmm. when every lesson was happening. Mm-hmm. And so how do you provide like consistency and quality and all of those things? And what I realized is, like, everybody, whether or not you're teaching with the same material, everyone has their teaching style anyway.
Right.
Everyone has their own personality, their own energy they bring into the room. So I decided, instead of trying to conform to a regimented music education, that's yeah. not how I grew. I grew up playing the blues, and my piano teacher would like yank me around to local bars and like throw me up there. And
wow.
So it was, yeah, it was fun. And she gave me all these performance opportunities, and she had me improvising and playing by ear and, you know, learning solos off of recordings. And I found that I wanted both. I also learned how to read music and
yeah.
and play classical pieces, but I, like, my passion was playing in bands. So she helped me mm-hmm. move in that direction, even if it wasn't a genre that I chose. And so at Mode, our common core and just overall philosophy is just showing up for the students, working on material they want to work on. Mm-hmm. There's so much that they can learn from a Zeppelin song or something right. that, like, it doesn't have to be out of a book.
Yeah.
So I think that that has been pretty consistent with all of our teachers. Uh-huh. And we do have teachers that are more traditional, and we kind of let people know as they come in, it's like, what do you want to learn? What's important yeah. to you? And like, or what is your kid into? And we've got a really solid team that like sets people up with the right teacher.
That's cool. So, I was yeah. kind of wondering if maybe like do the students audition the teachers or vice versa, or does something like that happen? Or
we
you
haven't
just
done it audition. We definitely have flexibility. So gotcha. If it's like not the perfect fit right away, sometimes people will come in and shop tea, you know, take like a few different lessons and right. like kind of decide where they want to go. Some students just like kind of need a different experience to like find inspiration and mm-hmm. kind of move around the studio a little bit.
Right.
Some will supplement their guitar lesson with like a vocal lesson with someone else so that right. they can get, you know, a stronger lead vocal. Or so it really is, you know, we try and be as flexible as we can.
Cool.
But yeah. But we can usually find the right teacher for the right person. And mm-hmm. yeah, we don't always hit it right away, but we're pretty good.
That's very cool. Well, it's important for people, I think, when they're finding their way to superstardom, to have all these
absolutely options. Yeah.
Well, let's jump into the November agenda of things that are happening around West Seattle. Check our show notes on your podcast player for more info on all these events that we're about to talk about, and also the West Seattle blog event calendar for updates and more events. Starting with November 3rd and every Saturday morning for the foreseeable future, the Stay and Play Open Gym for kids and their caregivers at the Arbor Heights Community Church basement from 10 to 11:30 a.m. That's for ages 5 and under. No drop-offs. Space is limited. Aaron, you offer classes called Tiny Modes for ages 0 to 4 years old. What do you see as the impact that comes from introducing music this early in life?
In my first few years of teaching, I had a couple students come to me that went through a Lou's Kinder Music program, like over at Kenyon Hall. Mm-hmm. And Lou was just somebody that I really admired and ran such a great program over there. And I just noticed how these students came in and they understood rhythm, they understood melody, they already had all of these ideas introduced to them, even mm-hmm. if they didn't know what it looked like on a sheet of paper. Or they didn't know what it sounded like on the piano. It was just like embedded in there. I always told a story of my kid. There was like a song in Kinder Music that was like you walk in, you stop. And they'd have to like stop their bodies. And my kid, like, you know, a year and a half or whatever, like on her feet, just starts running into the road. And I was like, stop. And her whole body froze. And I'm like, oh, thank God. You know, like, I think that it's like handy. Learning how to, yeah, but also learning how to like communicate through song. You memorize so much through song and you know, you learn like your opposite. You're up and you're down and you're loud and you're quiet. And that's all introduced in early music. But yeah, our Tiny, I've been teaching the last two Friday classes for Tiny Moches covering, and it's so much fun to go back to it. It's been a minute since I taught it. And yeah, just running around with like shaker eggs and rhythm sticks and ribbons and, you know, dancing around with the kids and their parents. And it's a great way for parents and young kids too, to connect. Mm-hmm. Like it's a nice, really quality time for parents to spend with their little ones.
So that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's really fun.
Moving on, Friday through Sunday, November 3rd through the 5th, the Fauntleroy Fine Art and Holiday Gift Show at the Fauntleroy Church. Aaron, do you have any favorite holiday music? Is there such a thing?
I dread this time of year. You know, and I have teachers that love it. They're like, oh, you know, it's Christmas songs. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, man. And
do teachers actually teach it? Like, let's learn a
song. If the kids want to learn it, uh-huh. Exactly. Uh-huh. It's just kind of, again, it's student-led. And for me, I mean, I grew up Jewish and I was like, I don't need to learn Jingle Bells. Right. But I think that it's definitely over the years, I've taught a lot of Christmas songs mm-hmm. and kids love it and mm-hmm. families love it. And like, I'm always stuck on the piano caroling with my family, so I'm not totally opposed to it. I think it's just probably a bit, you know, a few years of burnout, but we've led caroling at the tree lighting
gotcha
a few years, and that's uh-huh. always been really fun.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, we love working with the Junction.
Well, you know, Cher has a Christmas album that just came out, so maybe your opinion of Christmas music is about to change.
It's got
to
be good, right?
It's got to be good. Saturday, November 4th, Burgers and Beats at Revelry Room in the Junction. Enjoy some of Seattle's best smash burgers and other delights brought to you by local chef Tim James. What music do you think would go best with a burger?
The burger? I want to say country music, but I think mm-hmm. that's like, yeah, I want like some like southern rock
right.
or something maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that makes a lot of sense. Sunday, November 5th, Christy McWilson and Jasper Tollefson are musicians for the West Seattle Food Bank presenting a Sunday afternoon filled with songs and guitars from 3 to 5 at C&P Coffee Company. Aaron, what are some of the local bands or artists that you've personally worked with that we might know or have heard of?
I like to work with like here at mm-hmm, Mode. Mm-hmm. I hired a lot of people that I played shows with locally, so that was like kind of our first, like, you know, who do we know in the neighborhood? We were like in mm-hmm. the Capitol Hill circuit for a little while.
Right.
But like Nils Peterson and Pat Shoey, Rose Windows worked here for a bit. Jacob James plays with Brandi Carlile was mm-hmm. here. Eric Hawk, Portugal the Man, Shayna Shepherd, local, Eva Walker, the Black Tones.
Wow.
I'm trying to think, so many. Genwood, mm-hmm. the Postal Service, Gen Champion, Miamancer. Like, we've had a lot of cool people come yeah. through here, and like a lot of great, I'm not naming so many uh-huh. that I'm like, but yeah. I'm like, but I think you're all great.
Well, another place that we like to see a lot of local up-and-coming music stars is at Easy Street. And November 5th at 4 p.m., the Carrion Kids from Mexico City are joining the Darts and Sinister Six for an epic in-store performance. Music can be an important cultural connection point. How do you teach or embrace that at Mode?
Well, I think probably mostly through our rock bands. Mm-hmm. We have bands that practice together on a weekly basis. So mm-hmm. definitely brings, I call it like the sports of music, where it's like y'all got to talk on the field and like play together and, you know, like become one. Right. It's different than your own independent practice. But the rock bands have been really great because it brings the kids together and they're coming from all different backgrounds and like they're all in one room mm-hmm. with a similar goal. Whether they're learning a cover song or writing their own music, it's been pretty awesome to see mm-hmm. them come together like that.
That's neat. Wednesday, November 8th, a celebration of Longfellow Creek at Youngstown Cultural Arts Center. Join the Southwest Seattle Historical Society, Duwamish Alive Coalition, and Delridge Neighborhoods Development Association for a panel discussion bringing together researchers, advocates, and others to learn about the history of Longfellow Creek. Do you have any favorite outdoor spaces in West Seattle?
Oh, I love Lincoln Park. Mm-hmm. You get it all in Lincoln Park.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah.
Now with trolls.
Oh, and now with troll. I still haven't seen the troll.
Oh, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. We definitely need to go check it out. And I grew up going to Alki, so that was, yeah. I feel like having those two, like, very, like, you know, similar but different experiences near the water is something pretty special about this neighborhood.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Have you been following the great pickleball controversy that's brewing it down at Lincoln Park?
Definitely not speaking up about it, yeah, but I'm having fun watching
it. Yeah, it is quite a spectacle. Another in-store at Easy Street, November 9th, is Caspian Coberly, performing in celebration of their new album, Texas Sexy. Do you think there's a music style that defines West Seattle? And do you think it's sexy?
I think that like West Seattle, and I think where kind of everybody ended up after the 90s definitely has like that grunge, mm-hmm. grunge kind of
yeah.
garage band vibe. But, you know, I mean, I've seen all kinds of music come out of Seattle
yeah.
And I've supported all different types of genres coming out of here. So it's fun to see places like, I mean, Matt Vaughn at Easy Street has been like showing us music forever in the mm-hmm. Junction. I appreciate him
yeah.
so much. And Matt Larson next door at the Skylark, we get like our all ages venues. So the kids get to play mm-hmm. and like Tim's Tavern is killing it down
yeah.
south.
Yeah.
That's like a few blocks from my house. So I've seen nice. A ton of live music. My kid gets to go. So
cool.
Yeah. It's nice to see the diversity and genres of music too in mm-hmm. the local area.
I was at home the other day and a car drove by blasting a pretty deep Alice in Chains cut.
You know? Yeah.
And I was like, does that happen in other neighborhoods outside of Seattle? You know, like where you hear someone blasting Alice in Chains.
Just in this little bubble. Yeah. So in my mind, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like Alice in Chains wherever you go.
There are worse bubbles to be in, that's for sure. November 10th, Crystals 101 at Inner Alchemy. That's from 7 to 8 p.m. Join us for an enchanting journey into the world of crystals. Discover the mystical powers and healing properties of these beautiful gems. Aaron, music, I think, also has healing powers, in my opinion. Can you think of any times that you've seen that in action here at Mode or through some of your school programs?
You know, I don't know that you can really get away from a music, like kind of a one-on-one private musical journey with someone without, you know, at least 5 minutes of a therapy session. Like, I've definitely been in tears mm-hmm. in my own lessons that I've taken. And I think that there's always a journey to learning something new and like kind of breaking down walls and finding like that next step in your own personal journey. And like music can definitely represent that, but also just the fact that you're playing the things that you love, the things that touch, you know, lyrically, musically, it's all pretty special, pretty healing.
Yeah, totally agree. November 16th, West Seattle Chamber of Commerce After Hours happens at the Hall at Fauntleroy from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. The Hall is also home to a free community Thanksgiving dinner that's typically presented by D Squared Hospitality and Tuxedo and Tennis Shoes Catering. Check West Seattle blog for more details on that and other community events for Thanksgiving. And then on November 17th, we have the Mode Music and Performing Arts annual Friendsgiving fundraiser happening at Soto Park. Tell me a little bit about this event.
We're excited. It's definitely a step up for us. We really owe a huge thank you to the Youngstown Cultural Arts Center for hosting us in kind of the beginnings of our fundraiser. We felt like we outgrew the movement studio, and I'm going to miss it this year, but definitely get over there and rent it for events because they're a local gem. So it's our first time in Soto Park, and we're excited. We're going to have a lot of student performances. We'll have live music. Tio Nacho's house, one of our teachers, Ricky Hoyos, is a family dance rock band is going to be playing, and they're so much fun. We're going to have some special guests come up with them. One of our student bands, Fluff, will be playing. We always have some solo performers, a bit of theater. So our teachers get together and come up with something fun to do. Yeah, and Troy Nelson, DJ Troy Nelson. It's hard for me to say that. I don't know why. I think because we've been friends for so long.
Oh, yeah. KEXP's.
KEXP's DJ Troy Nelson will be emceeing. He's been supporting us since the beginning, so I very much appreciate him for doing it. And yeah, it should be really great. Urban Feast, I was just there for an event, and yeah, the food was great, and it's just such a cool room too. So we're really excited to have it. We're excited to bring the West Seattle community up and all hang out and celebrate, you know, private music lesson scholarships and programs in schools. Like, we got to have them.
So what does this event fundraising for?
So last year we were really pushing for our scholarship program. And we were lucky enough to get the Impact West Seattle donation, and we're able to jumpstart the scholarship program that I've been working the last 5 years to get off the ground. So our private lesson scholarship funds do run out, and we do have more than a few scholarship applications that we haven't been able to award. So I'm hoping that the money that we raise will be able to replenish those funds and keep existing scholarships going and also be able to offer new ones. Our hope is that this will just be a running program and something that we can continue to fund. So we'll work throughout the year to in like different pockets. But yeah, our annual fundraiser is something that's definitely, it's a big one for us. So yeah, so we need people to show.
There's an auction that's part of it as well, right?
Yeah. So we will have a live auction and we'll have a silent auction. We've got a lot of local West Seattle people donating. So we're grateful for the businesses that have popped in. And our live auction experiences are pretty fun. Last year, the band that came out of Mode auctioned off a house show, and that was super fun. And the woman that got it was totally stoked to invite all of her friends in. They are going to auction off another one this year. Cool. So that's the only one I'm giving away. I think last year, Matt Vaughn at Easy Street offered a rock and roll tour of Seattle in the Easy Street van.
Nice.
So that one was pretty popular. That's so cool. Yeah, we're going to have some cool kind of one of a kind things going on from people in our local scene.
Gotcha. All right. November 17th, the Friendsgiving fundraiser. Don't miss that. November 18th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. is the Heron's Market up at the Heron's Nest, featuring a variety of vendors, arts, crafts, authors, plants, and more. In my last episode, the October Agenda episode with Tony Wilson from Papa Tony's Hot Sauce, he talked about how he had a pretty major aha moment at the Heron's Nest Market. So be sure to check that episode out, even though it's the October Agenda. Our interview is amazing. And it's so good that I've repurposed it from my other podcast, Field to Fork, and that will be the November episode. So be sure to listen to that interview somehow, somewhere, one of my shows, because Tony Wilson is amazing. And I was really happy to share his story and his really interesting moment of clarity that happened up at Heron's Nest. November 18th, Stella's Stars presents a fundraising dance party at the Senior Center of West Seattle featuring the Flaming Pies, Seattle's best Beatles tribute band. Aaron, is there a Beatles song that is like a mainstay of music education?
I mean, if you are learning your triads, you're learning Let It Be. Mm-hmm. So that is like definitely you're playing it in the key of C. Yeah. And it is, yeah, I mean, that's probably like one of the main ones that you bring up. I'm a big fan of Maybe I'm Amazed. So Yeah, I like that little chromatic left hand run. So I'll teach that one when I can. I'm like, it's the circle of fifths. Uh-huh. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, Beatles songs have always been popular ones to teach in the lesson room.
Who's your favorite Beatle?
Who do you think?
You seem like a Paul person to me.
Interesting. My favorite Beatle is John, but I feel like maybe my mom pressured me into that. And not that, no, but I really do love John Lennon, but it's the John Paul combo.
Yes.
You just can't. Yeah. Yeah. And then probably if I were going to hang out with any of them, it would be George.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Did you watch that Peter Jackson, Disney, the documentary that's like three parts?
The three-part Beatles doc. I don't remember the name of it. I saved it for my daughter because I wanted to watch it with her. Uh-huh. And she ended up watching it somewhere else. And so I just never saw it. I have friends that have watched it like 6 or 7 times. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm like embarrassed that I haven't seen it. I feel like it.
Well, you were waiting for your daughter. And then somehow she snuck off and watched a 9-hour documentary without you someplace.
I know.
I've watched it once and it's amazing. Yeah. It kind of really took me down like a whole Beatles wormhole of like really appreciating them on whole new levels.
Well, I'm hoping that now enough time's gone by that she'll watch it again. Yeah. She won't put up a fight. She's a big Beatles fan.
Well, a great time to watch it might actually be on Thanksgiving, which is Thursday, November 23rd. Check West Seattle blog for what's open, community gatherings, etc. Do you have any Thanksgiving traditions of your own?
You know, we grew up vegetarian, mm-hmm. so it's like kind of, you know, we were always at whatever version of tofurkey throughout the years. I don't remember anything really traditional other than just like stuffing our faces full of carbs. So
nice.
It's kind of, yeah, and then taking a nap somewhere in there.
November 24th is Black Friday, which is also Record Store Day Black Friday at Easy Street Records with a ton of limited edition releases, and Matt is usually out there giving bacon to people in line, you know, as they're waiting to get in. What are you listening to these days?
What am I listening? I find myself listening to, I keep bringing up my kid, but just kind of because she commands the stereo in the car. I really like a lot of the young artists that are out there right now that are giving kids a voice and like that present themselves a little differently than young pop artists were when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So like having a Billie Eilish or a Phoebe Bridgers or something like that is like pretty incredible. I found my like Fiona Apple and Regina Spektor in those like after a little bit of time, but it actually took working at Easy Street. So I have Matt Vaughn to thank for that.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Again, November 26th. Is Small Shop Saturday, where you can support West Seattle's small businesses. Is there any place in West Seattle that is like a go-to for you for stuff?
For stuff. We love all the stuff. I'm a pretty big fan of Moon Room over on they're really cool. We always support Northwest Art and Frame. Mm-hmm. They got some awesome gift giving.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's so many in the, like, I can't think of, I mean, there's a couple little spots that I miss. I'm sad that they had to go, but there's also so much great, like so many great little pop-ups that are coming up. So Allaire is really cool. They're little further north, right? But yeah, those are what I think about as gift giving spots. And we love the little toy store too.
Oh yeah. That's pretty cute.
I know, they're the best.
Northwest Wine Academy Tasting Room and Wine Bar fall hours are Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, 1 to 6 p.m. through December 9th. I just went up there recently. It's up at the South Seattle Community College. It's really cool, and their wines were good.
Really?
They're student-made wines, and they have this really nice little tasting room.
South Seattle Community College has some really cool stuff going on.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Is there any music that you learned to appreciate as you got older, like a fine wine?
I don't know. Maybe it was like the Beatles versus the Stones. Like, mm-hmm. I thought I had to hate the Rolling Stones some reason. And so I just never listened to the Stones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I, you know, moved out of my parents' house, and I'm pretty sure they were listening to the Rolling Stones. So I don't know what happened there. But
you were rebelling against
Yeah,
them.
I was rebelling. Yeah. But I got into the Stones. I got to see them the last time they came through. The only time I've ever seen them. Uh-huh. And I could not believe the energy on stage. I was like, these guys are going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do they do that?
Totally.
Maybe best not to know. Last but not least, December 2nd, the Seattle Urban Book Expo. This is a new date for an event that was previously scheduled for October, a celebration of literature, culture, and creativity. Can you think of one of the best books you've ever read about music?
I've read a lot of cool like music biographies, so I would definitely like dove into like my favorite artists, but I really loved This Is Your Brain on Music. Have you ever read that
No.
one?
No.
It just really breaks it down, like how we like process sound and why music makes us feel the way that we do, and certain sounds and intervals and make us feel certain things. It's just pretty cool. It's a little dry. Uh-huh. You can set it down, pick it back up pretty easily. So
I would veer in the opposite direction. I mean, I love music biographies, and for me, like the trashier the better. So like Motley Crue's The Dirt is like, I mean, it should be taught in schools.
It
probably
should be. Yeah. You know, very as entertaining.
Cautionary tale or something. Well, thank you, Erin, for joining me today and for all the cool work that you're doing here at Mode and in our schools and the community. It's really awesome. I hope that your November 17th event is a huge success and people can go online to get tickets for that.
Yes, at modemusicandperformingarts.org. Okay. So you'll be able to find all the information on there.
Cool. Well, thanks again. Keep up the good work and keep rocking. That sounds so bad. Rock on. That's it for this episode of Always West Seattle. If you like what you heard, please share this episode with your neighbors, friends, colleagues, pets. And it would really, really help us out a lot if you left a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. We would also love it if you posted about us on Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Always Podcast. And feel free to drop us a line in one of those social platforms if there's a story that you think that we should cover. Always West Seattle is a Made with Bacon production, all rights reserved. Interviews have been edited for brevity and clarity. I'm Keith Bacon. Thanks for listening.